You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. This morning's announcement about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, has had strong ripple effects throughout the Bay Area. Right now, there's a protest going on at the Federal Building in San Francisco. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center is based in the city. Last week, the group issued a community advisory entitled, "What Do I Need to Know If the DACA Program Ends?" It details information about work permits, ID cards, travel, and rights under the Constitution. One of the authors is the group's deputy director, Sally Kinoshita. After today's statement by U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Sally spoke with KALW's news director Ben Trefney from her office.
Do you have any idea in California or the Bay Area specifically how many people have received benefits under Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals?
Yeah, the government releases data on a quarterly basis, and the latest data we have, which is as of March 31st this year, is that in the state of California, over 424,000 individuals have been approved for DACA in our state alone. The government does not release data on the regional or county level.
So that's a real disproportionate amount compared to the national numbers then. California has a huge percentage.
That's right. I mean, just in general, the state of California has about a quarter of the undocumented population in the country. And then here in California, we have a large percentage of the DACA recipients, largely because there have been whole communities that have been able to work together to help people apply for this benefit. So there's some feeling in the community that there's safety in numbers. It definitely helps when people know others who've benefited from the program and have seen all the kinds of benefits that flow from having DACA.
Can you tell me the backstory of somebody with whom you've worked or your organization has worked that this will affect?
You know, last week there were about 400 business leaders that came out in support of DACA because they work with DACA recipients. The organization I work with is no different. We've had a number of DACA recipients employed here at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. And what we've seen since President Trump started threatening the DACA program in his presidential campaign, as well as since he has become president, is really an unprecedented level of anxiety. I've been practicing immigration law for almost 20 years, during which time we've already seen record high deportations, even under the Obama administration. But the kind of targeting that we've seen more recently and the talk of canceling DACA has meant that as an immigration attorney, I'm getting calls about how to help people's mental health.
So DACA is only about 5 years old. I'm wondering, what was different about life for children of undocumented immigrants before President Barack Obama passed it in June 2012?
Prior to DACA, there were, in states like California, thousands and thousands of undocumented students who were doing well in school, but upon finishing high school realized that without a social security number, it was difficult to apply to college. They could not access federal financial aid at a time when college was reaching sky-high prices and becoming unaffordable. They also did not have the alternative to work because they didn't have a work permit. So what we had was a whole class of good students, hard workers that had no way to plug in, which is one of the things that DACA addressed, was how can we take members of our community who are Americans by every measure except for a piece of paper and ensure that we have not only created opportunities for them, but for the rest of American society that really needs that kind of brain power, labor, community members, and family members in our society.
That's Sally Kinoshita. She's deputy director of the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. Now let's listen to what President Obama said back in 2012 when he signed an executive order establishing Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or what he called the DREAM Act. Here he is at his White House press conference.
Now, let's be clear. This is not amnesty. This is not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship. It's not a permanent fix. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, driven, patriotic young people.
So it wasn't a permanent fix to President Obama at the time, and now President Trump is saying he wants to send it back to Congress. Did you think that DACA was something that, in its form, could have been made permanent or should be made permanent, or is it something that legislators should work out?
DACA was never the solution that we needed. It was a stopgap remedy at the time that was within the authority of a president to enact. But it didn't, it's exactly why we're in this limbo situation now, where the undocumented young people who benefited from it never really had the kinds of protections that put them on a permanent path to citizenship or assured that they could continue to grow roots here, because it could at any moment be taken away, as we have seen is the case. So a permanent solution through a legislative fix, in other words, a bill that becomes a law, is exactly what we need at this point, not just for those who qualify for DACA, but for their families and the 11 million undocumented people that we have in the United States.
So we'll see if Congress is able to work through this. They've obviously had a lot of trouble pushing through legislation in recent years. But meanwhile, if DACA ends, what kind of impact do you think it will have in the Bay Area, socially, economically, and politically?
So certainly the end of DACA is going to have economic and financial implications. 800,000 workers taken off of the labor force over the course of the next 2 years means billions of dollars in lost tax revenue, as well as what these dreamers and DACAs were contributing to the gross domestic product. So we'll see definitely a financial impact as workers have to come off and new workers have to be hired and trained. But we've also seen a tremendous social impact. The immigrant community is in a panic right now. They're really feeling, like many communities, poor communities and communities of color, that they're in the crosshairs of this administration. The impact on the mental health of students and their families, and also the coworkers and community members who live amongst DACA recipients and who, you know, we work together, we worship together, we go to school together. The impact has been really rippling throughout the community, not just on DACA recipients themselves.
Do you think that, considering this was essentially a campaign pledge of President Trump, that him giving some time for Congress to work out a solution is fair?
You know, this was a problem created by Donald Trump by making it a campaign promise that he said he would act upon his first day in office. He created an expectation that came back to get him. It was his own party that challenged him and set today as the deadline under which he had to respond.
Because of the threatened lawsuit.
Because of the threatened lawsuit. One of the reasons for the delay that the administration has put out there is that they're giving 6 months to Congress to act. And we actually agree with the administration in that case that Congress needs to act to create a legislative solution to this issue. However, at the same time, we noticed that the administration wasn't clear about what that solution would be. There was no support for a specific bill, no specific commitment to take leadership to ensure that we see a bill within that time period. So we're left with wondering what does happen at the end of that 6 months if, again, Congress cannot act in time.